Good morning. It's time for another conversation. This is High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, here on Talk 960, brought to you by the W. Greason Consulting Group. Get the new people management development book, Manage People Better, at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com today. We can all manage people better. For more information, contact W. Greason Consulting Group at 818-384-5076. It's an excellent gift for yourself or the people manager in your life. We're keeping it local with High Desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's start talking.
Well, good morning, Roxanne. How are you?
I'm good. Good to talk to you once again, Regina. Thank you. Good morning to our listeners.
Yes, and glad that you're with us this morning. We've got a special guest and really kind of a, I think it's really on trend topic to talk about. We have in the studio with us this morning Wilton Bell of W. Greason Consulting.
Our sponsor. Thank you so
much. Yes, thank you. And Wilton has had a pretty extensive corporate career. He's been a national sales director, a corporate trainer, and he's currently a professor over at Victor Valley College teaching business courses. Right?
Awesome.
And so we want to say welcome to Mr. Bell.
Mr. Bell, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Glad to be here.
Yes, and so we want to give you an opportunity to tell our listeners a little bit about your background, and then we're going to jump in because I understand you've got a new book out, so we'll jump in
and talk about that.
But
thank
tell
you.
Us a little bit about yourself.
Well, started my career at Frito-Lay. I worked for Johnson & Johnson, Colgate-Palmolive, and Mission Foods in sales marketing and sales leadership development, and as you mentioned, I'm currently an adjunct professor of business at Victor Valley College, so that's kind of my history, 30 years of doing that.
Wow. Wow, and you don't look a day out
no.
over what? 36?
36, yeah.
You're too kind.
But like I said, you've got a new book out.
Yes.
And the book is titled Manage People Better.
Yes.
And so let's dive into that because I want to talk to you about what was the inspiration or what was it that made you see a need?
Is this your first book?
Yes, it's my first book, and the need came from my son, Grayson. As he was entering the workforce, I saw that as he was working with managers, there were issues and some basic things that they were doing that were wrong. And as I thought about it, as we moved into COVID, that there were new managers placed in positions of managing people that had never been taught, trained. My career at Colgate, Frito-Lay, every position I had, I was prepared in that position by training, and then for future positions. And that's kind of gone away along the side in terms of a lot of corporations.
So the practice of kind of training.
Training and developing.
Sure you're ready for promotion or those lateral forward type moves is not practiced so much anymore.
No, and definitely the one that in terms of what I targeted was managing people, which is in California, you can become liable for a lot of different things.
Mm.
So just understanding it creates productivity, improves productivity and performance, employee satisfaction, innovation, creativity, team cohesion.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something that's really needed that we don't really look at and think about. So.
And so tell us, because you know there's a lot of information and material out there on this subject of leadership and management and those kind of things. And so what do you think is one of the most unique aspects of your book and your approach to this type of information and training?
Well, it's 10 or 12 chapters targeted on things such as managing one-on-one, managing as a mentor, what do you look for as a mentor, what do you look for when you manage up? Most people don't think about managing the manager that manages them.
Mm-hmm.
They think that, hey, if your manager doesn't call you, there's not an issue. So the book is really taking it so it's a reference, some basic skills, basic knowledge of do's and don'ts, in terms of what you want to do as a manager. So the book, very concise, very easy read, something you can get through in a couple of afternoons. And it was designed purposely for new managers that don't have the time or people that have been out of school and don't want to take a big, thick book and read. So
right.
It was designed to get through it very quickly.
Okay. And for those who may be interested, you may have piqued their curiosity and they're interested in reading the book, how can they get it?
It's available at Amazon online or Barnes & Noble online or any major online retailer, book retailer.
Okay.
Is this a book to read if you're just becoming a manager, or is this specifically for managers who want to maybe improve their skills?
For both. If you're a new manager, say you have a team and you have someone in your organization, you're making them a manager, you don't have time to train them, you can give them this book and walk through it. If you are a manager and not sure if you're doing it right, mm-hmm. say, no one's ever trained me, I just kind of make it up as I go along, this will kind of ground you in some very rudimentary do's and don'ts.
Oh, okay. All right. And you also referenced or mentioned something about mentoring and how important is having a mentor. I know January actually is National mm-hmm. Mentor Month.
This month,
yes, it
right?
is. Yes.
And so how important is having a mentor?
It's the success for anyone in your personal and professional life, but definitely in your professional life, you want to have a mentor. So it's important because they can lead you to better knowledge. They can help you, give you feedback on what you're doing all right, mm-hmm. what you're doing wrong. But I have some key things that you want to look for when you pick out a mentor. One, you can have a formal or informal relationship. So a formal relationship is where you have a set time, maybe once every 2 weeks, once every 3 weeks. Informal is you call them as needed. Mm-hmm. Also, you can have a mentor inside your organization, which is great, but maybe outside your organization. Someone, you're looking for someone that's going to develop you in the area that you want to develop. But looking for a mentor, you got to look for some key things, and that is someone that's willing to spend time with you. Mm. That's one of the things that you need to look for. Be realistic in guarding them. Someone that wants to do that, good if you have a person that has been a mentor before, and eager to share their expertise. So someone that's going to share their knowledge, has relevant expertise or knowledge, and the success in the area that you want to develop. So that's a good thing you want to look for, along with that they'll give you honest feedback. You don't want someone to say you're doing a good job. I mean, you want to grow, so you want someone that's going to give you honest feedback. And the most important one, willing to introduce you to their circle of friends, take you to those meetings, because you get the halo effect. If someone likes that person and they're introducing you to them, then they're going to like you. So those are the key things you want to look at. But most of all, respect the mentor's time. Be prepared when you talk to them. Mm-hmm. I have a folder. I put in notes, files, documents. Be prepared because they're giving you their knowledge, and usually for free, or it may cost you a lunch. So
right. Yeah. Those are all really good tips, especially around how to source out a mentor, but then once you have one, how to maximize the opportunity of having a mentor. That's really great information. Let me ask you something, Wilton. What is one of the most common mistakes people make managing people?
Really not thinking about that they're an employee. They're thinking they're talking to another human being. But when you have that manager-employee relationship, that's where the book that I have tells you some of the do's and don'ts, some of the things you can't do or you shouldn't do as managing. So most of the common mistakes is that they look at it and say, hey, this is just a person, this is you, I can tell them to do this or I can tell them not to do this, without realizing the implications as you are a manager. So the common mistake is taking it for granted, not really thinking about it, not doing the research, and just making some of those basic mistakes.
Wow. So having that position go to your head?
That's another one.
I've seen.
That's another one.
Coming from like a younger generation too. Is this something, Wilton, that you've seen, you know, you've been in the workforce for a while, and then you mentioned that something happened with your son that he didn't like the managers at that time, what they were doing. Have you seen a big change in that in regards to how managers were trained when you first started your career to now?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
As I said at the top, there used to be training, definitely in the major corporations, at Frito-Lay, you were trained at every level you were currently in, and the positions you aspire to, you had training. That has kind of gone away, and with COVID, I've seen a shift to where that brain or thought trust and those leaders and those mentors that were in the marketplace after COVID kind of we came out of it, those people went away. You don't have those people in the workforce.
Is it just a lack of time, or what do you think that is? That they don't have the time to train, or is it just they want to get that position? Hey, we need it filled. We'll train them as they go. Is that or what?
A little bit of both. Okay. It's from schools of thought of training is important. My undergraduate and graduate thesis was on training and development, and I realized early on that if you train someone correctly the first time, they wouldn't be a problem. Some organizations don't look at training. They think of it as an expense and not so much as a deterrent and something that will benefit and grow in productivity and cohesiveness in their organization. So kind of two schools of thoughts. It's important. I don't want to spend. Sometimes they're thinking, I don't have the time. I don't have the money. And some people that really value training, and those are the organizations that tend to achieve more.
Because in some of my experience where you have a young person just gets promoted, mm-hmm. they don't yes. have that knowledge. They haven't worked in that position. Right. So I feel that's just, you're just lacking. There's no, either they're afraid to manage people or because they're the same age, they just don't have that.
It's funny you say that.
Okay.
My first management at Frito-Lay, I was 25. I inherited 12 folks. Half of them could be my father, the age of my father. At 28, I managed an organization of close to 100. So that was something, to your point, but I felt confident and comfortable because I was trained along the way. And to your point, when you are young, and how do you manage someone that could be your father? You're dealing with personal, you got to show them respect. But now you got to switch, and you're in a management role. How do you handle that? And the book helps walk through one of the things that starts off, you're a manager and you're promoted within the group that you used to be a part of.
Yeah.
How do you make that transition? Mm. How do you do that?
Yeah.
You know?
And I think a lot of people have found themselves in those type of situations, and they can be very sensitive.
Yes.
And can be challenging to navigate, especially without any training. Let me ask you, you know, our commitment to training or not training, should the training now be kind of focused and centered on some of the HR aspects for especially new managers? Because I know that those things are constantly changing. And there's a lot to that. I don't know how else to articulate that. But should new managers especially really be very conscious about being HR compliant?
And that's one of the chapters in the book, is how to incorporate HR in your decisions, when to bring them into your decisions, and what decisions you shouldn't make without their input. Mm-hmm. And look at HR as your legal to make sure you're right. To your point, things are changing constantly, definitely in Southern California, so you want to make sure that you're in line with what's happening. So there's a book on those things you don't do. And bring in HR for every step of the way, definitely when you're dealing with progressive discipline, when you're dealing with putting them on a personal improvement plan, mm-hmm. those types of things, you want to bring HR. You should bring them in early and bring them in often is what I say, and have them do that. So you have right. one other set of eyes. Definitely, I talk about bringing in your manager, definitely when you're making those decisions, but HR, when to do that. Because to your point, it is changing, and you want to have, they're like your legal lawyer to make sure you're doing the right things.
Right. And would you say that is for small businesses, nonprofits, corporations, just business and organizations across the board?
Definitely. And this is why when I wrote the book, it was for a smaller group. So you have you have one employee that's managing 10 people. You have two employees managing 50. You have shifts. Whatever it is, if you have someone that's managing someone else and they've never been trained or never taken a course, then this will help them and ground them in some rudimentary things that they should do and not do, and help them to get creative in some of the things that they should do.
Wow.
And managing folks.
Well, it sounds like this book is just filled with great information that people can easily digest.
Yes,
right?
Quickly, easy.
And use as a reference or a resource.
Yes.
And kind of help to get them into the groove, so to speak, of how to manage people better.
We all can manage people better. I say that in the book because whether you're new or if you're not sure you're doing it right, here's something that can around. You say, yeah, I'm doing that. I'm not doing that. Oh, hey, there's a good way to look at that. And so it's one of those things over my 30 years of working with these corporations and being trained and managing groups of folks and always feeling that I was comfortable with that because I had that knowledge and skill set to do that. And so if you don't have it, here's a good way to get it.
Great. Mm-hmm. Well, we want to thank you for coming on and
thank you for having me.
All of this information with our listeners. I think it will be helpful to reaffirm with Roxanne that she's managing me well.
There's a chapter in my book on that. I'll tell Roxanne about it.
I was going to ask you, too, before we go, Wilton, in your experience, what is the hardest part of being a manager, or the thing that maybe you found difficult when you first became a manager? Were you scared to be promoted into that position?
I think the hardest part is, one, be honest. I mean, when you're managing people, be honest about what your skill level is and what you can do. The hardest thing I think about managing people was that adults are not your children. They're not your friend. They're not your – they are definitely a different, separate individual when you're in the organization and when you're in the workplace than if that's your friend at the bar. So one of the most difficult things is making sure that you manage them and you – keep that line of being a manager and them being the person that you're working for. There's friendships. That's going to happen and doing that. But keep that professional distance.
So kind of honoring the boundaries.
Honoring the boundaries.
From what I've
correctly.
Heard, that is hard. It's also maybe firing somebody.
Yeah.
Have you found that?
Yeah. One of the things is there's a whole chapter in how you do that.
Somebody.
And truly no one, you really never terminate a person. They terminate themselves. And if you go through the proper steps and I walk through the progressive discipline in the book, they've had every opportunity, and you've given them every opportunity, and you've offered support on how to help them become better. Because the goal of terminating a person is not to get rid of them, it's to improve their performance. It's for them to look at something that they're doing wrong, we recognize it, here's what you need to do better, and let's work together on that. So you're not terminating them. When they don't do those things, then you terminate them. And a quick story, I terminated a person. Just cause, went through the progressive discipline. He showed up about 2 months later with his son. I didn't know what to expect, and he gave me a pin set and told me because of me terminating him, he realized what he was doing wrong, and it made him a better person. He wanted to thank me, and I have that pin set today that he gave me as a thank you. So I've never had anyone, you probably won't experience that, someone you terminate bring you gifts.
I was going to say, that's probably a very unique story.
Very unique story, yes, okay. Yes.
Yes.
It's definitely something I want to read up on.
Yeah. Well, thank you again
for having me.
And a reminder that January is National Mentoring Month.
Get one.
Find one.
Yeah.
And then once again, before we actually end, if you are interested in reading the book, purchasing the book, you can do that by
Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com or any major online book retailer.
Right. The book is called Manage People Better.
Manage
People Better. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Bell, for coming on and sharing. And we'll look forward to hearing more from you throughout the year.
Yeah, and you can reach me at area code 818-384-5076. That's 818-384-5076. Love to hear from you and talk about how we can all manage people better. Thank you.
You know what, Roxanne? We're going to jump in this morning. We have an opportunity to really talk about a topic, an issue that I think will be of concern for many here in the High Desert, particularly those who have students that are part of a local charter school. And so I don't want to waste any time. I want to take full advantage of getting this information out there and helping to kind of clear the air to a certain degree. And so we have Dr. Derek King with us this morning, who is the superintendent for Excelsior Charter School. And I believe, Dr. King, that you've been in that role now for about 4 years. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Well, welcome to Conversations with Regina.
Welcome back,
Roxanne.
Dr. King.
And we are really happy that you accepted the opportunity to come and talk to us about this particular occurrence that has recently taken place that has resulted in several hundred charter school students being displaced, right? And I'm wondering what you can tell us about that and how Excelsior is helping to be a solution for those students and those families.
Well, first off, thank you and Roxanne. Thank you, Regina and Roxanne, for having me here today and, you know, to be able to provide some clarity on this issue. So what you're referring to is Encore Charter School closed while we were over Christmas break.
Yes.
While everyone was over Christmas
yes.
break. And that displaced just roughly about 500 kids, just shy of 500
wow.
students.
Okay.
And so to date, even though we've only been back in school this particular week, or excuse me, last week and then coming back this week, we've been able to support almost 300 of them. We're north of 200 and climbing every single day.
Okay.
To be able to absorb some of those students within our system. So with Excelsior, we have 8 campuses total mm-hmm. between the High Desert and San Bernardino County, then also one in Riverside County. And so predominantly the students have been placed in our Victorville campus, which is located near the college, or our North Victorville campus. And so that's been able to work out pretty well in order to provide a smoother transition for those families.
And it's a little different for charter school students, right, in terms of district, like, you know, how usually you live in a certain area, and so you that's your home school, right?
Absolutely.
It's a little different, right?
Yes.
Can you explain or
sure.
expand upon that?
Sure. Charter school families aren't geographically bound. So in terms of that school choice, you can go anywhere that you choose. So the reality is, even though the school was in Hesperia, more than half of the students were not living in Hesperia or
okay.
anywhere close.
Okay.
Right? So they were bused in or even being driven in, et cetera. So in our case, we're now also busing because, again, that geography does not necessarily marry up with where the school was situated.
Right. Okay. And so you're helping to meet the need so that this disruption or interruption in the students' curriculum is minimal.
Absolutely.
Right? And so they're
Absolutely.
Being absorbed into your system.
Absolutely.
Right?
And some of the steps we're having to take, because there is a difference between the graduation requirements for Encore as well as, between that, Excelsior, and most schools.
Mm-hmm.
Encore was just different. So we're having to reconcile the graduation requirements for the seniors. They had almost 70 seniors. We know we have close to 50 of those seniors that actually have come with us.
Oh, great.
Yes, and
yeah.
so we've been able to reconcile that. Our overall goal is to ensure that they have that we're able to normalize
right.
their senior year as much as possible to ensure they can attend prom, grad nights, winter formal, making sure they're getting their senior pictures, making sure we're able to look at their transcripts to where that way they don't miss a beat. They'll still graduate this year, and we're hoping that the lion's share of them graduate on time. So
right.
if they were already on time, we want to ensure they graduate on time this year.
That they graduate on time.
Yes.
Now, we've talked about students, but also with the closing of Encore, there is staff, faculty and staff. And so were you guys able to hire, did you bring over any of their staff? Or
yes, we did. And that's one of the things that also makes me smile, because it's horrible when things like this happen,
mm-hmm.
when a school has to close, because you think about the students, the parents, as well as the staff, right? The staff that gets displaced.
Right.
And so thankfully we were able to absorb. We're getting closer to 15 of the staff members we're able to absorb.
Great.
Some of it is to support the student population that we were able to provide the support for, but also our positions that we already had open. And that's not just here in Victorville. It's across our system.
Okay.
Because a lot of educators drive in the school. So,
right.
for example, mm-hmm. we've even staffed some of the staff in Redlands, Ontario, Barstow, et cetera, along with Victorville and North Victorville.
That's great. I mean, I look at that, and that definitely is a bright light and a way that even out of a negative situation, you're turning the lemon, so to speak, into lemonade, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we plan to keep forwarding that. Our long-term plan is to be able to open up a performing arts academy
okay.
in that place. Now, there's a lot of hurdles that we have to, take
right.
before that happens, because of the newness of this activity, the property still has to be dispositioned properly. We were already in conversations with the investors
okay.
who actually owned the facility.
I was
going to
ask you if there was any prior conversations prior to the announcement that they were actually closing and all of that.
There was. There were some indications. So they reached out to us in the spring semester of last year, and
mm-hmm.
we started to do our due diligence in earnest when we got back to school this year in the fall semester. So our initial efforts was just to take over their operations,
mm-hmm.
right, and allow them to stay in place. That's what we really wanted to do. But when we did our due diligence on the finances, it just did not make fiscal sense, and it would have put our organization in jeopardy. And so then we were trying to negotiate on their behalf to allow them to stay in place throughout the school year. But again, the investors then asked us, would we absorb millions of dollars of their debt? And we absolutely cannot do that because it would have put us in jeopardy. So, but it was also a surprise to us that they actually decided to close over the break. Mm-hmm. So once that happened, to the credit of the administration that was there, they did reach out to us and other, you know, organizational entities to see how we can help.
Right. Dr. King, is there anything else that you want to make sure? Because I know when things like this happen, there's a lot of chatter.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And so we want to make sure that the facts are out there.
Sure.
And that people understand if they have any questions, if they have any concerns, is there a source or a resource that's out there where they can go and get those questions or concerns addressed?
Sure. They can always go to our website at excelsior.com. Additionally, we'll be providing updates on our transferring to the new property. To add more color to that, what has to happen now is we're also in a position by which the investor that actually holds the bond for that particular property actually holds our bond in Redlands.
Okay.
So we have a strong relationship.
Okay.
And so we're very optimistic about it because we've already started negotiating. Like as mentioned, it's just it was a step too far for us to absorb their particular debt. But we're fully aware that the investor would like for us to purchase that property or acquire a lease. A lease is the faster way to do it, so that way we can, you know, our target of trying to open up in the fall would be great.
Right.
So, but a purchase is a longer endeavor.
Right.
Right? And so we would, what we're trying to negotiate right now is a lease to purchase down the road. And so we're pretty optimistic that we'll be able to make that happen because the investors, again, they have a long financial history with us. They already know our books because we're already they're already our bondholders for our property in Redlands. So we're excited about that. But we'll be updating the families throughout every single month. The other step that we have to actually take, we have what's called a countywide benefit charter, which is unique to most charter schools. So our charter is actually held by San Bernardino County Office of Education.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that case, with the countywide benefit charter, even though there's currently a moratorium on non-classroom-based charters, we're allowed, because we're an existing charter with a countywide benefit charter, to add a school.
Wow.
So in our case, we can actually add it, and we know we have the support of the county to be able
to do that. So
right? So we'll go through that process. If we're not able to open up, say, fall of 2025, our intent is still to open up. It's just our target. It would be best if we were able to do it at that particular timeline. So, you know, that's our goal, to be able to open up there. Then the other part, just as mentioned, because we're a hybrid program of independent studies, seat time, virtual and college courses, we're still busting at the seams, and it's hard to place all of these students. And some of them are on independent study right now, you know, knowing that we'll be able to, and we're attempting to find a seat for them within the next week or so when we make that transition. But right now with adding and opening up some new classes, we're able to grab more than we thought we were going to be able to support.
Right.
So that's been a huge benefit and a relief to our families. And because we were able to also absorb some of the teaching staff and support staff from Encore, it's making the transition even more seamless because they already have those relationships in place.
Well, Dr. King, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing this information, putting some clarity to this particular situation. We will definitely keep eyes and ears on it, and we invite you back to share any updates.
Go to excelsior.com, that's excelsior.com. They'll see us post a monthly update of what's actually happening. But additionally, if they wanted to enroll or had any questions, they go there, and that's how they start the process.
That's wonderful. Dr. King, thank you as always
thank
for coming
you.
And bringing us great information and putting clarity, you know, as the dust starts to settle on this, right?
Sure.
We appreciate it.
So we want to thank, you know, both you and Roxanne for having us here because, again, we always want to make sure we're addressing any misinformation, but also providing a light and opportunity for families who still haven't found that stability.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks again for being a part of the conversation. Reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at RoxanneScafidi@edbroadcasters.com. High Desert Dialogue, Conversations with Regina and Roxanne, has been brought to you by the W. Grayson Consulting Group. Get the new people management development book, Manage People Better, at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com today. We can all manage people better. For more information, contact W. Grayson Consulting Group at 818-384-5076. It's an excellent gift for yourself or the people manager in your life. We'll talk to you next weekend.